Mecum Auctions, the world's largest collector car auction company, returns to Indy with Dana Mecum's 37th Original Spring Classic, May 10th through the 18th at the Indiana State Fairgrounds. 3,000 muscle cars, Corvettes, exotics, and more. Broadcast on Motor Trend TV and streaming live on Max. From avid collectors to those new to the Mecum experience, we welcome everyone. Register to bid now at Mecum.com.
Economic blockades in Indianapolis. Wow, somebody really wants to engage in some violence. I have no idea what this group is. I am not even interested in giving them any kind of voice. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Great to be with you. They said they were going to engage in economic blockade. People are going to block the streets, stop people from reaching businesses. It is my hope that law enforcement and elected officials and others, including the citizenry, are aware of this and act accordingly. But people who block traffic and people who stop businesses from opening are not only engaged in violence, but we understand that this is a suppression of the First Amendment. Your business is the way you talk. It's about your expression, and these people think they can keep you from it because they have some desire to protect terrorists. Weird folk. Weird folk. You don't let weird folk rule the day. They have to deal with the consequences of their actions, and any city that allows this to happen, as if somehow they're engaging in speech as opposed to the suppression thereof, well, that's a city that isn't serious. So we'll find out whether Indianapolis is or is not. The Pacers get the sixth seed. They beat the Atlanta Hawks. They are going to the playoffs. I'm assuming you can get your tickets by looking up the Pacers or going up Gamebridge or whatever the case may be. I have not gotten to a game this year. There was an opportunity. I just have not gotten to a game this year. I have no idea if I'll get to a game in the playoffs. Lord knows what those tickets are going to cost. I don't know. Maybe first round will be affordable. I just don't know if people think this is a team that's built to go deep. I think they got to be happy that they're in. You know, they didn't have to fight for that final spot. They're definitively in. See where it takes them. Certainly hope for the best, at least for the city. And there was a fire on the west side. This was, if you saw this, was this yesterday, you know, Saturday this was. If you saw this, that's what you saw. Wayne Township saying that a series of fire departments responded to a scrapyard where the fire took place. The smoke could be seen from Johnson County. There was a whole traffic issue. That's what you saw. All I know is yesterday here in Carmel, there were a series of sirens that were going off. And I said, excuse me, it's Sunday in Carmel. We don't allow those things. There are rules here. And those rules are very, very clear. No loud noises on Sundays. Unless you're one of these people mowing their lawn at 7:30 a.m., in which case, somehow, that's totally fine. Glad I got that off my chest. Glad to have that one out of the way. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Good morning.
Good morning. morning.
Good morning.
We've talked the whole night through.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Good morning. Good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning. Good morning to you.
Are you, as we sit here right now, aware of any threats to U.S. troops in the region?
We are staying vigilant to exactly that potential threat, but we have not seen any attacks on U.S. troops or personnel in the region or our facilities, nothing to report to you this morning, but we're going to obviously watch that very, very closely.
Just to get a sense of how this came together, did the United States have any back-channel communications with Iran, if only to deconflict the airspace over Syria?
I would just, and not in terms of the operations, but I mean, obviously in the lead up to what happened yesterday,
we made it very clear.
I would just say we made it very clear to all parties, including Iran, what we would do and how we would continue to defend Israel, and also how seriously we would take any potential threat to our personnel and our facilities in the region.
Thank goodness John Kirby made it very clear. Actually went on national television after Iran sends 350 drones and ballistic missiles, 350 in total, into Israel, and says, we made it very clear. You made nothing clear. The foreign policy of the Biden administration is, and I'm quoting here, don't. That's the entirety of the foreign policy. And so far Ukraine did, and so far Iran did. Wait until China takes Taiwan. Don't. Okay. Sure, Joe. Go have some ice cream. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Good to be with you. Yes, without question, American weakness is the issue. I should state Biden weakness is the issue. The Kirby, that John Kirby, the spokesman there, the Biden administration, wanted to say, well, this is because Trump really didn't play hardball with the Iranians. And when he got us out of the Iran nuclear deal, it really helped them get a weapon. None of that is real. They say it, but none of it is real. What is real is that don't is not a policy. Iran was responding to a bombing from Israel. This much is true. This bombing was not on an embassy. It doesn't matter how many times they say it. It was not on an embassy. It was a targeted attack against generals in the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps who were engaged in activities to attack Israel. Just like Iran supports Hezbollah, a terrorist organization in Lebanon, that constantly attacks Israel. As a matter of fact, after the Second Lebanon War, there was supposed to be what I would call a DMZ, a whole area where none of these groups were allowed to be in. And of course, they're in there and nobody does anything. Israel absolutely went after those who were trying to kill them, killed two in a targeted strike. Iran responded by sending 350 drones and ballistic missiles at any target in Israel they could find. That is not tit for tat. That is not, well, Israel did this and then Iran did this. Okay, it's over now. This is Joe Biden's argument. Biden, speaking to President Netanyahu, Prime Minister Netanyahu, said, you got rid of, you knocked most of the missiles down. Call it a win, call it a night. And I have heard people discussing the fact that this is a win, even on the pro-Israel side. This is a terrible mistake. 350 ballistic missiles and drones. You knock down 99% of them, which means some did get into the country. You did have a girl that was injured. It was a serious head injury. I don't know where we are right now with her condition. Out of 350, missiles and drones, 346 and a half, let's call it 346 missiles and drones were shot down. Four got through. That's the 99% right there. That's the number that everybody's using. That's incredible. And proves that Iron Dome works. If you remember, Iron Dome is the missile defense system that Israel uses to shoot down rockets from Gaza, which is to say Hamas, which is supported by Iran. So this isn't Iran's first attack, although in 40 years since the Ayatollah, it is the first direct attack. Missiles come in from Hezbollah. Hezbollah supported by Iran, so not Iran's first attack. Missiles coming in from the Houthi rebels in Yemen. The Houthi rebels supported by Iran, not Iran's first attack. But so we understand, when they said they were going to counter, it seems that everybody knew it. Iran actually had game plans, or shared their plans, I should say, not game plan. That would be incorrect. Shared their plans with Turkey and others. Those plans then got shared with Israel and the United States. And this is how Israel was able to respond, to react, to be able to take down these drones, etc. Drones were taken down by Israel, by the U.S., and by Jordan. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you how great the Jordanians are, because it was Jordan that's been allowing Iran to smuggle weapons into the West Bank. I mean, how else do they get there? So maybe Jordan doesn't get to make a claim of, look what we did, aren't we great? Jordan did what they should have done in their best interest, because there's no saying that these drones wouldn't have landed somewhere in Jordan and hurt their own people. Their job was to take them down. But Iran's attack was so indiscriminate that if it wasn't for Israel and the Iron Dome, if it wasn't for this Iron Dome project, that when it got voted on in the U.S. House of Representatives to send aid in terms of more missiles for Iron Dome, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez cried on the floor of the House, first of all, because she's a child, and secondly, because she is part of the Jew-hating squad. Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, Jamal Bowman, and of course their supporters like Congressman Andre Carson in the 7th, right here in Indianapolis. She cried. That's where the progressive left is. No U.S. aircraft carrier engaged Iran's incoming missiles. The USS Kearney, which is a destroyer in the eastern Mediterranean, shot down one ballistic missile, and it was the USS Arleigh Burke that shot down three ballistic missiles before they could threaten Israel. This, according to the reporting from Jennifer Griffin over at Fox News Channel. If it was not for Iron Dome, drones and missiles could have hit the Dome of the Rock, one of the holiest sites for Muslims, which sits atop the original temple of the Jews. Oh, don't. I can get angry quickly on that subject right there. If it wasn't for Israel, the Dome of the Rock could have been destroyed. That's what Iran did. This indiscriminate, large-scale bombing raid. Don't tell me it's a win for Israel. It is not. And don't tell me that Joe Biden has handled this well. The spin coming out of the White House, the spin coming out of the left on the Sunday shows was stunning. But we need to go back to this idea of don't. The minute you say don't, you are making a statement. Just like if you're speaking to your child. Don't. What happens when they do? Well, every parent and every rational person knows that means a consequence, which means that the policy of don't is now a policy that means a response if someone does. Well, Iran did. What's the response? Where's the bombing raid on Tehran? Where is the destruction of every one of their nuclear reactors? Iran supports Hamas, and Hamas took Americans hostages. So Iran took Americans hostages. And after this bombing raid, after you said don't, there's still no response? Oh, okay. That's the quick summation. I've got more on this subject. We'll get to it.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Right now, be sure to pay today, won't you? The government gets a little bit ornery, Randy, when you don't pay your taxes, and then they get a little bit of Randy, and then if you don't pay, they try and screw you. It's that kind of morning, folks. What was your plan? Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Send your emails to Casey at WIBC.com, and I will get right to them. It is tax day. It is April 15th. Make sure you pay. Mine are done. Thank you, everybody. No, you're welcome for all I give. It's radio. It's not that much. The WNBA draft this evening. And you say to me, we're paying attention to the WNBA draft. We are when it's Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever have the first pick. Yeah, that is true. Because there's no possible way that the Fever don't take Caitlin Clark, is there? There's just no possible way that happens. This isn't. Is there any map that's been done that has some other pick being valuable to the Fever? There's no way. There is no way. This isn't the Colts taking Trev Alberts instead of Trent Dilfer. Like, they're good. Okay. I've been trying to figure it out and didn't think it was possible either. 36 televised games for the Indiana Fever. For the record, I believe they play 40 in a season. So, you know. But as we were discussing last week, I think the story here is not they're going to take Caitlin Clark and not that it's going to be madness. The field house is going to be full for women's games for the first couple weeks. No doubt. How do you manage expectations? I mean, it's still a team. I mean, if I was speaking to Caitlin Clark, which I would, you know, it's still a team. You have all this skill. You bring all these fans. Iowa still lost to South Carolina. So how do you manage the team? How does the team gel? How do they deal with a superstar? By the way, last year, the Fever took Aaliyah Boston. She was a superstar for women's basketball, just not to the level of Caitlin Clark. Now, if Caitlin Clark comes to the Fever and then the Fever then wins a title, well, this town's going to go nuts. And at least the town's going to make money because, yeah, it's basketball. We don't even care. We'll just sell it out. Does all of women's basketball now grow exponentially? No idea. One superstar does not necessarily make things happen, but you can't make things happen without a superstar. There's the other side of that. So you got to assume the Fever are taking Caitlin Clark tonight. And then at least for a couple of home games, at least 2 weeks of home games, downtown bars and restaurants are going to do okay. I'm happy for them. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. For the record, I'm not a fan of Kyle Rittenhouse. And I think that freaks some people out. Do I think that Kyle Rittenhouse was attacked there in the streets of Wisconsin? Do I think he had the right to protect and defend himself? Yes, I do. I think it's very okay for people to ask questions about his involvement, where he drove to. What I think that's all totally fine. I think it's possibly odd for people to say that he should be attacked and just take it. Because what they're saying is you're not allowed to drive anywhere with a firearm. You're not allowed to travel with a firearm. As a matter of fact, traveling with a firearm is you know, the proof of your violence. That's not the case at all. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. I'm not a fan of Kyle Rittenhouse because I think he comes across like a putz. I've always felt that way. He might be the nicest guy in the world. I could be completely wrong. Hearing him speak, putz. That's my take. I'm glad he didn't go to jail for anything that happened there in Wisconsin in these shootings that took place, in the rioting that was taking place. He is speaking at Kent State University. And of course, the Kent State woke folk have lost their mind because they don't think that a putz should be allowed to speak. I think that, of course, they should be allowed to speak. If a putz could not speak at an event or speak publicly, how would the Indianapolis City County Council tell us anything? See what I did there? You see how that's comedy gold, people. So there's a petition to try and get the Rittenhouse event canceled, and 5,000 people have signed the petition. The petition accusing Rittenhouse of, quote, involvement in politically motivated acts of gun violence. Gun violence. Wasn't it a mall in Australia and 5 people were stabbed to death and no one's talking about knife violence at all? That just happened over the weekend. I think it was Friday. No one talking about it at all. No one saying we have to do something about knife violence. He was invited to speak at Kent State University by Turning Point USA. 5,000 people signing this petition. The university is saying, no, the event's going to go on. The event is going to happen. Good on Kent State. Good on them. Just because a petition is signed doesn't mean the event doesn't go on. Free speech is not for the speech or the people that you like. It is for the speech and people that you hate. This is a recording, but how important it is. I wouldn't spend my money to go see Rittenhouse on any day. Not a chance. I'm just not interested. But the idea that somebody doesn't like him, so they think they can cancel it. Lord only knows what they're going to do when he shows up. Universities must turn to the student body and say, you are wrong. That's why you're students. You have a lot to learn. What, of course, has happened, and you've seen it, is that the student comes to campus and somehow the student knows everything. And it's the teachers and the administrators that have to learn. This is a backwards student, a backwards situation. It certainly is backwards if a student thinks that they know more than the professors and more than the administrators. No, you don't. You're dopes. And you go to college to be less dopey, and then life takes care of the rest. You should be thankful you have a college to go to. Otherwise, you'd have to go right to life, and that's going to smack you around like it's its job, because very often, that's life's job. Good on Kent State. I only hope they stay strong. Because even a guy I think is a total tool should be allowed to speak. That's how the system works. It's a good system.
Could see the...
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Winds gust on Wednesday near 20 and 30 miles per hour.
Wait, what day is that?
Wednesday.
Okay. That's some fair winds.
I know it will be. And there's some showers and storms too. So
that's some very Sinatra. The summer wind came blowing in from across the sea.
Ooh, that's very poetic. I like that.
Can you do the next line?
I cannot. No.
Ooh. Next time you come back, you be prepared to sing Summer Wind. We got rules
summer
here,
wind.
Tara Hastings.
All right, Summer Wind.
Right?
All right.
Either that or a couple bars from Two Live Crew. Those are your choices.
Oh, my gosh.
You can do Two Live Crew, can't you? You just don't want to admit it.
Well, I don't... Are there inappropriate lines? I don't know. I would have to.
Are there inappropriate lines? Oh, that's adorable. Inappropriate. Not in today's world. Not in today's world. That's Tara Hastings right there from Wish TV. Tara, thank you. She'll be performing with Two Live Crew soon. That'd be
Lord.
A dream. 61 degrees in the American Standard Heating Weather Center. The time is 7:07. Economic blockades. See that? That's like a takeoff of the old Calgon commercial. Ancient Chinese secret, huh? You never saw that commercial? Oh, please, you got to watch more Nick at Night. That's all I'm saying. Tony Katz at 93 WIBC. Good morning. Blockades! Angry, Jew-hating, America-hating bigots are going to take to the streets of Indianapolis, or so we're told, and block traffic. And really impact the economics of the city of Indianapolis. Mayor Hogg said, we're not friends. I'm not going to shake your hand when you come see me socially. I've got 5 microphones. You can come in for an interview anytime. Updates on the city, disagree about things, talk about things. It'd be good. People would want to hear from you, but you've never been willing, and your team has never been willing. As a matter of fact, your team has been despicably nasty over the years, and you allow it. I mean, that's what happened. But you're going to allow people to block traffic in Indianapolis? No. We have snowplows. I just want to remind you, sir, that if people are blocking traffic in Indianapolis... I don't think you can block it for anything, but you're going to block it to support terrorists? Just a reminder to you, Mayor Hogsett, that we in Indianapolis have snowplows and they can be used in springtime. Just going to leave that there for you, sir. And I honestly, I truly do hope you do the right thing. I really, really do. Meanwhile, we're about to get super fancy in Indy. The hotel, not the Hotel Carmichael. You thought I was going to say the Hotel Carmichael. I was going to do a whole thing about the Hotel Carmichael. That's in Carmel. That's in Carmel. Cost $20 million more to build than they thought, and the whole city just went, huh, and moved on with their day. That's my only issue with it. Although I admit I don't like it when the cities do that kind of thing. I think that if private industry wants to, let them. When the city does it, it's awkward. Although I will say I hear that the French restaurant inside, oh, what's the name of the French restaurant inside the Carmichael? It's supposed to be excellent. I haven't gone yet. Supposed to be excellent. I have no issue with it being there. But when you're $20 million over and the city shrugs, and then I have people getting on my case for why are you bringing this up, that's just precious to me. Indianapolis is now going to be opening up the Intercontinental Hotel. This is Keystone Group that is going to be doing this. It's at 17 West Market. It's known as the Illinois Building. It's going to include a rooftop bar with views of the Soldiers and Sailors Monument. It'll have meeting space. It'll do smaller high-end weddings, fundraisers, and social events. Will the rooftop bar have cigars? And if so, who's in charge of deciding that humidor? Because, hey, how are you? Keystone Group, that's Ersal Özdemir, owner of the Indy 11. So, hey, seriously. The hotel space conversation is stunning that we still need more of it. This is what makes the whole Insignia thing so crazed. It's not that we can't use the hotel space and the extra convention space. It's the idea that the city of Indianapolis is going to do this. You don't see me arguing about the Intercontinental Hotel. I think it's going to be wonderful. Private group, private guy, great. The city? Bleh. Again, not the business they should be in. Hope it works out, but not the business they should be in at all. What happened with the Iranian attack on Israel, and what about that U.S. response? Major Mike Lyons broke it down for me earlier today. I'll share it with you. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Storm season. We're not out of the woods yet. You just heard Tara Hastings talking about it. Indiana storms can be fierce. Do not wait for a leak to have your roof inspected. Talk to Moss Roofing today. Moss Roofing provides free inspections. They can spot potential issues before they turn into costly repairs. You're talking about siding a replacement after a strong wind, roof replacement after a hailstorm. Moss Roofing has options that fit any budget. Talk to them about their payment plans. Talk to Moss Roofing today. Your roofing, your siding, we're talking about a second generation of Hoosiers running Moss Roofing, a family. So what happens when Joe Biden says don't? The president of the United States said to Iran about a possible attack on Israel, don't. And yet, Iran did. 350 drones and ballistic missiles, some of them shot down by the United States, including three ballistic missiles shot down by the USS Arleigh Burke, a destroyer. But the president said don't, and Iran did. So doesn't that mean there's going to be a response? Doesn't that mean there needs to be a response? Tony Katz, great to be with you. Major Mike Lyons joins me right now, retired West Point graduate, military analyst here on not only with us, but all across the TV and radio dials. First, let's talk about this attack. It was known to others that this was coming in this way, giving Israel a chance to prepare because groups, I think it was like Turkey and other nations, actually shared the information they had. Was this Iran being purposeful, saying, hey, we want to put on a show, but we don't want to do real damage, quote unquote?
Yeah, I think so, Tony. And first of all, though, a country that says it doesn't want to go to war, escalate, decides to fire 300 or 50 or so missiles at another country is not a serious statement. I mean, the only but for the fact that the United States and Israel had this defense capability to fire up and not let something like, 1% go through, 99% were stopped. I mean, it's just a military miracle. It's incredible that that happened. So I'm just still surprised whatsoever that the evaluation criteria is there was no casualties, there was no damage, so that was okay. It's never okay that this country does that because, first of all, Iran got incredible intelligence for what the capability of Israel and the United States can do. What about the cost of all those interceptors that went up there yesterday and the fact that they're not in inventory? There's not, there's a finite supply of that military supply that can do this. And then lastly, look at Jordan, for example. Jordan now is clearly on the side of Israel, the fact that they obviously helped with this mission as well. So, I think the lines are getting drawn more clear. But, of course, this administration gives Iran a pass. They just want the Israelis to take a win and not do anything. And by the way, we're not going to help you if you decide to go on the offense and attack inside of Iran.
I am somebody who disagrees in the idea of Jordan being an ally. We know that weapons get smuggled into the West Bank, and that clearly has to do with Jordan looking the other way. And I wonder if this is more Jordan acting in their own best interest because these drones or these missiles could have fallen on them. I would like it if you were the one who was correct in this, Major, talking to Major Mike Lyons, retired United States Army. But I want to get back into, before we get into the Biden and the U.S. response, let's go back to Iran. Mm-hmm. This was indeed telegraphed. So the purpose, you talk about being able to see what Israel's defense capability is, being able to kind of engage in analysis. This is one risky way to go about doing that. If you're Iran, which has now said, now you see Israel, you see what we'll do to you, you better not do anything to us or else. What is Iran's next steps in your view?
Yeah, no, for sure. It's kind of like warning somebody they're going to shoot them. So put a bulletproof vest on, and if that stops, it's good to go. But if not, you're still, still going to damage you. What is Iran's next steps? They're going to sit back now and see what Israel does. They're going to continue to fund covertly the militia groups that are in Iraq. This was pressure coming from Hezbollah in some ways, I think that argument makes sense because they had been doing nothing. They had been literally on the sidelines. But now they're in the game. Now the fact that they've launched missiles from their sovereign territory that again, violated international airspace, all those things, they're in the game. So I think Iran sits back and waits, sees what the United States does, and then sees what Israel's response is going to be.
Let's talk about what the United States does. Let me start with a baseline. When Joe Biden, the president, said don't, that was a stipulation of foreign policy. That stating don't, de facto, the implication is if you do, something will happen. Am I wrong in my assessment?
Well, that's exactly. No, the administration seems to be very siloed, that there's different foreign policies that come out for whatever way the wind's blowing on that day. That how does the administration say our support for Israel is ironclad, but then in the same token tell Israel, well, by the way, if you decide to go back on the offense against Iran to this, we won't support you here. So it's moved the red line. There's no red line. Like I said, Iran gets a pass again. They escalate, get a pass. We've now have a new norm. We have a new norm that Israel, somebody can fire 300 rockets at Israel without them having to respond as long as nobody's killed on the ground.
But before I get to Israel's response, let's go back to keep it with Joe Biden. If he doesn't respond, if there is no U.S. response, I know he gathered the G7 countries. We're going to hear more about economic sanctions all of a sudden. Some of those same sanctions that he relaxed when he took office, desperate to get us back into the Iran nuclear deal, adding to this, that the administration now wants to blame President Trump for getting out of the Iran nuclear deal, that somehow that had something to do with the attacks that we saw over the weekend. But if the U.S. isn't responding, does the U.S. now look to China and Russia and other actors like a paper tiger? And does this put things like Taiwan more on the map for being taken over in the year 2024?
Yeah, I think it does. I think that the time is running out for these other countries to act. I think as they try to project what will be the results of the U.S. political results next fall. But as the same token, there is some miracle Joe Biden gets reelected, and we just have the same continuance of this foreign policy. So the question, though, I think that where it impacts the most in these other arenas is just coming down to how much of a supply we're giving. We've basically shut off supply to the Ukrainians right now, and every warning is there that they're likely to have to surrender here by the end of this year. They're going to run out of ammunition by the end of the year. What's going on in the Pacific? The Chinese have been able to keep that, you know, again, on the down low because they want, when the time comes, they're not going to give up this military advantage of surprise that seems to no longer exist in this modern world of conflict at that level. So I think that's where those two are a little bit different. While this administration tries to, you know, thread this needle in the Middle East between Gaza, between Iran, and between our support of Israel, based on the political forces that are acting in our country.
Now let's put you as the fly on the wall. There's Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister. There's Yoav Gallant, the defense minister. There's Benny Gantz, minister without profile. These are the three who get to decide the battle plan, the response of Israel. Are you responding to what Iran has done? And what is the level of the response? You're the fly on the wall, Major Mike Lyons, or you're right there in the room advising them. What say you?
They're going to ramp up something. The response will be covertly. Israel will bring us back to the shadows. They're focused on their nuclear capability. That's the biggest existential threat Israel has. I think it'll look like that Washington will take the W-2, but because they'll say that they've influenced Israel not to respond. But I guarantee you those people are clearing their desks right now, figuring out a way to covertly respond to what the Iranians have done.
Major Mike Lyons, retired United States Army military analyst. I appreciate you taking the time to be with us.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Well-Being at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellBeingAtWork.org.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
The summer wind came blowing in from across the sea.
Tax day, my people.
It lingered there.
Write your checks and then have a drink. And what am I supposed to tell you? It's all going to be okay. It sucks. It was funny. First of all, Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Great to be with you. Always a pleasure. Producer Carl's behind the board. Matt Baer in the WIBC Traffic Center. Ryan Hedrick and Kurt Darling in the WIBC Newsroom. We'll be hearing more from Kurt Darling over the next month as we get ready for the month of May, because he is our racing guy. Producer Carl sends me an email. I didn't even talk to him about this. And he sends me an email about a story about how wrong the income tax is. And I looked at that. The story was basically about the immorality, right? You were talking about the immorality of the income tax.
Exactly. They're taxing your work.
You know, I've been talking about this on and off for years. The whole offense of the income tax is completely dismissed as somehow you have to do this because it's fair. But you are exactly right. The idea of taxing your work, you do the effort, you engage the skill, you have put yourself out there, and the government says we deserve a piece, is so gross and despicable as to be believed. 1913, the income tax, I refer to 1913 as part of the tilt of America, the direct election of senators. The income tax, these things did tremendous disservice to the nation. Tremendous. The income tax is abhorrent and should be repealed. I've said it. I meant it. I apologize to no one for it. And producer Carl and I are going to start a movement. No, we're not. We're just going to talk about it. And
let's plan on it after the show.
All right. All right. We're going to have to. There's going to be snacks. That's key to any movement is good snacks. By the way, you could apply that a bunch of different ways to the word movement. And I'd still be correct. Tales from the Track. Presented by Relay Indiana, Scott Dixon will be speaking to the crowd. This takes place Monday, May 20th, from 4:30 to 8:30 p.m., of course, hosted by Hammer and Nigel. This will be taking place at Vision Loft Stutz there on Capitol Avenue. Tickets available, I don't know how many are left, at WIBC.com. I'm just going to keep talking about it until they tell me to stop talking about it, which doesn't mean that there are still tickets, because sometimes I don't get emails. So this is, you can find it all at WIBC.com, an incredible event. The tickets include dinner, there's a cash bar, door prizes. It's a whole one-on-one with Scott Dixon, and then there's a Q&A, there's a meet and greet with the photos, and it's a private viewing of the Stutz Museum, which is very, very cool. And Hotel Tango Distillery will be on a site. They've got the menu crafted with their red, white, and bourbon, which is a specialty label that supports the American Legion's Be the One initiative. So a lot of good things happening. You can check out all of their bourbons. You can have the food. You can see Scott Dixon and a potentially sober Nigel. Tales from the Track. That's with Scott Dixon, presented by Relay Indiana. Tickets are available at WIBC.com. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
I said to my Uncle Sam, old man taxes, here I am. And he was glad to see me. Mr. Small Fry, yes indeed. Lower brackets, that my speed and he.
Yeah, see, welcome to the radio, see. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. This is the kind of music we play, see. What are you doing, Carl?
I never felt so proud.
Yeah, I know it's an income tax song, but no.
I'm playing a hibbity jibbity.
The government's putting the squeeze on us. They're trying to cheese us. We're not going to let them happen. We're going to fight all the way to victory. Good Lord. What has happened to this show?
I thought it was awesome.
Tony Katz at 93 WIBC. Good morning. Great to be with you. Honesty matters. Thus the headline, men punching random women in New York City, a desperate last gasp of the male rage fueling MAGA. Oh, is this where I play the music? I didn't. All right, this is where I play the music. Okay. That's about right. Now, I had seen this story the other day. Actually, I think I had it in one of my show sheets and didn't get to it. I didn't notice that the author is Amanda Marcotte, who has long been amongst the silliest of the progressives. What a statement. What a headline. Men punching random women in New York City, a desperate last gasp of the male rage fueling MAGA. Random New York City attacks are an extreme manifestation of men feeling entitled to women's time and attention. You know, this is happening. We have discussed it before. Everybody wants to talk about how crime is down, and certainly one should be honest about data. Homicides are down. I have the story from the Wall Street Journal. Homicides are plummeting. That's the terminology being used, and I'm happy to see it, although there was no data on Indianapolis present in what it is that the Wall Street Journal provided. That's searchable. You know, I type in Indianapolis and it says NA, as in not applicable. But if I take a look at Philadelphia, in the first few months, they have had 75 homicides, which is a massive number. But in 2023, same time period, they had 114. So you can see this. Texas had 57 in 2024. The year before, 79. Columbus, Ohio had 19 in 2024, first 3 months. But in the year before, 45. So we should look at these things and notice that it's real, right? We shouldn't pretend, oh, that's not the case. But we can honestly say that people don't feel safe, whether it's in downtown Indianapolis or in the streets of New York or anywhere else. That there is activity happening and allowed to happen everywhere. Also, we should be clear that if there were 75 murders in Philadelphia in the first 3 months, that doesn't make Philadelphia safe. Just like Indianapolis is not a place where people feel safe. And I would like it if it was. And we take a look at New York City and we see that people are being attacked. And women are just being randomly punched. You understand that none of that has to do with Trump and Make America Great Again. You want a subject that doesn't get discussed? I'll give you a subject that doesn't get discussed. Of the people getting punched, now I'm going to say that this is anecdotal. And the reason is because just because something is shared on TV or via video doesn't mean it is the totality. I want a data point. How many are black men punching white women? Tony, how dare you? No. I'm discussing the very idea of what those have put out there about bigotry this and bigotry that, and look at these people and look at those people and look what police do and look how it's racist and look how it's racial. How do you think these things manifest? How do you think these things build? We've seen anecdotal proof of this repeatedly. How many of these are attacks on Jewish women? Because we've certainly seen Orthodox Jews be attacked in New York. Remember, New York is all loving and caring and everybody lives together. So far, I walk down the street without issue. Here in Indianapolis. But none of this has to do with Trump. Zero. Honesty matters. What is it that we're seeing with our own eyes? And then are our eyes deceiving us? And what does the data tell us? If you tell me homicides are down, I can point to data and say, yes, homicides are down. But I could equally say that if you're a woman walking down the streets of New York and you fear getting punched in the face, that homicides are down is inconsequential to the fact that you are still afraid and that women are getting punched in the face. But it takes a special kind of progressive to say, well, you see, this is because of Trump. And that's Amanda Marcotte. That's just ugly. It's a lie. It's false. It's nonsense. It's narrative as opposed to reality. It's madness. We don't need madness. Madness is randomly punching women in the face on the streets of New York. What we need is data. And what we need is people who see that to stand up and make it stop. I have argued and I will say it again. The only way that this stuff is going to stop is with force. Us as a society saying no. That's the force.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Well-Being at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellBeingAtWork.org.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Israel respond to the attack from Iran. Israel did take out Iranian military leaders in an attack in Damascus in Syria. So Iran responds by sending 350 drones and ballistic missiles across as much of Israel as they can, trying to kill every civilian they can get their hands on. But the attack was known, including the amount of hardware that they had and they were going to utilize. That information got leaked to the United States and Israel, allowing Israel to respond by shooting down over 99%, or I should say 99%, of the incoming drones and rockets with the help of the United States and the help of Jordan. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Great to be with you. Find everything I do at TonyKatz.com. The phone number, 317-239-9393. The problem is people keep calling this a win. Look at that. Israel won. Look at what it exposed. Look at how weak the Iranians really are. I'm sorry. The people calling this a win, I think, are Pollyanna. That Israel could defend itself, great. But you cannot rely solely on defense. Nor can you rely on a defense that costs that much. Now you've depleted a fair amount of Iron Dome. What attack comes next? And you have progressives here in the United States, like Representative Ocasio-Cortez, who don't believe in funding it or helping with it. She cried when funding for Iron Dome got passed. Cried. And you say to me, well, Tony, we shouldn't be funding other nations anyway. Okay. If that's the case, I don't want to hear Joe Biden tell Israel you shouldn't respond, which is his position. Oh, we don't want to escalate. That's the position of people like Senator Chris Coons. My God, how despicable the senator from Delaware is. No response at all? That's the way you maintain things? As a matter of fact, as the Jerusalem Post reports it, not only did the United States know about it, they seem to give some level of idea of what the scope could be. You mean you were okay with an attack on Israel because, after all, you were going to be able to shoot everything down anyway? Oh, we've got some leadership issues for sure. I will have more on that story on Tony Katz today at noon. The economic boycotts from this group, who knows who they are? They're getting way too much credit. They're going to block the streets to keep you from getting to work in Indianapolis and other places. That's their plan. Their plan is to say, we so support Hamas. We so support the destruction of Israel. That's this group. They call themselves a pro-Palestine activist group. That we're going to block traffic. And so you can't reach businesses with ties to Israel. Okay, Jew haters. A reminder to Mayor Joe Hogsett, to Governor Eric Holcomb, and to the Indianapolis City County Council, to law enforcement. Your business can very much be tied to the concepts of free speech. And no group is allowed to violate your First Amendment right to express yourself through commerce. That's how I would see it. But if you don't see it that way, at least see it this way. A reminder that we have a tremendous amount of snowplows in Indianapolis doing nothing right now. And I think you got to use them every now and again, even in the springtime, just to make sure everything's working. So if you have people blocking the streets, just a reminder to Indianapolis, we've got a lot of snowplows. We have a tremendous number of snowplows. We have an outrageous number of snowplows. Just like to remind people of, all the good things we have here in Indy, and they should be used. That's all. Nothing more, nothing less. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
talk money? What happens if the Indiana Fever indeed do what everybody knows they're going to do and selects Caitlin Clark with the first pick in the WNBA draft? The first 2 weeks of home games, at the very least, call it the first month, they're sellouts, right? This isn't even a question. Certainly those first 2 weeks, every hotel in downtown, the media coverage, it's going to be nuts. There's economic reality in this. And it could be very good. Tony Katz, Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. A name so nice, I said it twice. Gary Dick joins us right now from InsideIndianaBusiness.com. Gary Dick, see, I said his name twice as well. InsideIndianaBusiness.com on X at IIB. There's no question, at least in my mind, that the Fever aren't going to take Caitlin Clark. I haven't seen anything that says, well, depending on what the team needs, no. You take the star power, and the star power, exactly how much translation to dollar power are they expecting?
And to kind of put a finer point on that, Tony, it would be the upset of the century, I think, if the Fever does not take Caitlin Clark tonight. But the impact is going to be significant. How significant? As they say, time will tell. Ball State is actually out with a study. That's how much focus is being put on this pick and the impact, the Caitlin Clark effect, if you will. This study suggests at least $2.5 million or so of additional economic impact into Indianapolis, the Indianapolis region, maybe 26,000-plus additional fans to Fever games. All you have to do is look at the ticket prices. I meant to check before I got on here, but ticket prices are up substantially for Fever games, and the season starts in about a month. So we're going to be right there with this impact coming very soon.
All right, I'm on the site. I'm getting to the site to find out where the ticket prices are. I have no doubt that tickets are more, and capitalism works, and they now have a product that people want to see. I would consider $2.5 million to be a little light right there, is in terms of the impact. But is the impact is in restaurants, the impact is in hotels. How are the Fever looking at this as an impact to the team?
Well, I think probably in a number of ways. And you can't forget Aaliyah Boston. They've got another superstar already on the team. So two really great faces of the franchise to put out there to fans. So I think the Fever's going to put a great product on the court. You've got Gainbridge Fieldhouse, a great arena. And you look at merchandise and the marketing of the team, all those kinds of things certainly come into play. New fans, and that, I think, is probably one of the things that really excites the franchise, is new fans, new families and fans coming into the fold with Caitlin Clark arriving. And the impact she has already had on the women's game, but, many people believe she's going to continue to transform, have that transformative effect on the WNBA as well. So the impact to be felt here in Indy, but also perhaps throughout the league as well, and lifting the league up as well.
I'm looking at one of the sites for ticket prices for the first game, the Fever against the Liberty at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. Yeah, you can spend over $1,000 on a ticket if you want to get really close. Talking to Gary Dick from InsideIndianaBusiness.com on X at IIB is where you find it. Let me bring you down to Evansville really quick, where they have got the Chicago service back. We're talking about the airport, and these things matter to the growth of the city and of the state. When you see these regional airports lose connections to major cities, it has a real effect on what business can come there. How did this get back into rotation? What does it mean for Evansville?
It was a huge, perhaps the top business issue in Southwest Indiana, Tony. We were in Evansville last week for the announcement for IBJ Media and Inside Indiana Business, our Engage Indiana series kicked off down there. huge effort over the last number of months. The state was involved all the way up to the governor's office, the Indiana Economic Development Corporation, and others to get these flights back. Before the pandemic, Evansville had 7 daily flights across 2 airlines to Chicago. That went away with the pandemic and was not coming back because the airlines had not added enough pilots to make those flights happen. Corporate headquarters were looking at leaving potentially. Huge, you know, Old National Bank has a major presence in Chicago. It was a major, major problem for them. So a lot of people in the business community certainly rejoicing. They still need to get back that Detroit flight for Toyota in Southwest Indiana. But it just, as you suggest, it just goes to show the impact that these regional airports feel when they lose service.
So this will be American Airlines that has returned to the flights. These planes, are there smaller aircraft, smaller jets, 50 seats on board, as you have the story, and they will be twice a day between Evansville and O'Hare. It's not Midway. They're going right to O'Hare. Yep. Is there a requirement from where you brought up Detroit, for example, but is there a requirement that Evansville, I shouldn't say requirement, is there a desire from Evansville, a need for more? Do they want to have more access to Chicago? Is it about Detroit? And what other hubs are they trying to get access to?
Yeah, I think the big one was Chicago, certainly to get service back there. Detroit is another big market for them, in particular because of Toyota and that massive plant they have nearby in Princeton. They need access, better access to Detroit. So that's another market to be sure. Those two, they have added flights in Evansville, more leisure flights, if you will, to Orlando. And there is an anticipation they're going to get Las Vegas before long as well. So things, they've made improvements, are making improvements to the airport in Evansville. That connectivity issue, certainly a big one for the business community and others, and that seems to be breaking through there in Southwest Indiana. But a really big issue that was really weighing heavily on the business community for a number of months.
Before I let you go, the deal is done. Shareholders of U.S. Steel approved the sale to Nippon Steel, which is based out of Japan. Now, I don't think we see Japan, of course, as anything but an ally these days, and we haven't seen anything that would make us think that with the threat of China in their periphery, that they're not going to do anything to damage the relationship with the U.S. You had the Japanese representatives here with President Biden just last week. But this sale of U.S. Steel to a Japanese company, how does that have Hoosiers and those within the steel industry looking at that today?
There's certainly an uneasy feeling if you go to Northwest Indiana, where U.S. Steel, you know, there's not a more American company certainly in this country, and it literally built Gary, Indiana, that U.S. Steel. So there is a connection run through the fabric of that community. There's an uneasiness about not having American ownership. The Biden administration has talked about its opposition to the deal, but I think this is going to push through. As you mentioned, Japan, an ally, and I think that as this continues to move forward, it will indeed move forward. And there are people in Northwest Indiana who feel the impact is going to be positive, and there will be cash infusion and improvements made to the facility there.
Gary Dick, InsideIndianaBusiness.com, on X at IIB. Find him personally at Gary Dick, G-E-R-R-Y, at Gary Dick on X. A pleasure, man. Appreciate you being here.
How bad is it?
Don't sugarcoat it. Give it to me straight.
What, coffee?
I think I need some coffee.
Time to fill up on the news. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Dow futures up 240. NASDAQ futures up 127. I think there's going to be a conversation of this changing, depending on if Israel makes any retaliation towards Iran. Does that have any effect on oil prices? All these things do connect, and so we should be aware of that. Right now, oil is down on the West Texas Intermediate and on the Brent crude. West Texas is at $84.91 a barrel. Brent crude at $89. It had seen certainly higher numbers over the last month. I guess is the way I would I would put that. If I take a look, we were over $90 for parts of April. Right now, down a little bit on the Brent. This, of course, could change things. But here's the number. I don't like the number at all. But it's going to be seen as, look how great. Retail sales up 0.7% in March. That's a very, very large number. But it makes no sense. How is it possible that the consumer price index is up, shelter and gasoline are up, which means, of course, inflation is up, and the producer price index is up, what it costs to manufacture the goods, that's up, which means inflation is up, but people are spending more. How in the world does this make any sense to anybody? The whole thing is just ridiculous.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
I already put in the question to economist Dr. Matt Will. I'm going to reach out to a couple other people. Allow me to give you my issue. Take it for what you will. A couple of months ago, maybe by now a year ago, time flies when you're having fun. Maybe by now, a year ago, we talked about doom spending. You're like, Tony, what in the world is doom spending? Once you hear it, it kind of sticks with you because it has been with me since the day I read it. People are anxious, and we should be clear about anxiety in society. I think that is so much of what's wrong in society. Everybody's anxious at every second. I think we see it in air travel. We see it in dealings with the police. We see it in dealings in stores when the quote-unquote Karen phenomenon, etc. Anxiety. People are very anxious. Well, shopping is a way to self-soothe. It takes your mind off things. You buy it, you're not even thinking about what it's actually going to cost you or how you're going to pay it back. You just get it. You have this thing, and this thing is a sense of control. It's a sense of safety. It's a sense of, I'm okay. We've argued this and discussed this when we talk about inflation. If you take away from the person who goes to work 5 days a week, 6 days a week, works in a factory, works in an office, 8 hours, 10 hours, if you take away the ability to take the family out to dinner once a week, to take the spouse and go to dinner once a week, if that goes away because it's unaffordable, people ask, what is this all worth? But when you go out to eat and somebody else is getting you the water and somebody else gets you the extra ketchup and you don't have to clean anything, you didn't have to prepare anything, you feel like I'm normal, that the work is worth it because the luxuries are still present. I don't think we should deny that. That's a very true statement. You take that away, the anxiety builds. Well, what if people want that more than anything and don't care what happens on the other side? Like, for example, credit card debt. The other way to look at doom spending is to say that, well, it's all going to go to crap anyway. Everything's going to burn. Might as well have that new TV. Might as well have that new this. Might as well have that new that. Might as well. And so people spend not worrying about what's going to happen next because what do I care as long as I have the thing? Credit card debt for the first quarter of 2024 is $1.129 trillion. $1.12 trillion in credit card debt. In the third quarter of 2023, it was just over a trillion. That's the fourth quarter of 2023, $1.12 trillion. Lord only knows what it was the first quarter. Got to get that number. But people buying because they're like, screw it. It doesn't matter. I won't pay the bill. What are they going to do to me? No one's going to pay their bills. Doom spending. Is that why retail sales are up 0.7%? Because what does it matter? By the way, the Dow Jones predicted 0.3. So, I'm, You can tell me that this works out well for Joe Biden. I'll tell you, I don't know if it works out well for the country. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. So that CNN show with Gayle King and Charles Barkley is over. King Charles is only going to last one season. We hardly knew ye. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Great to be with you. Find everything I'm doing over at TonyKatz.com. TonyKatz. TonyKatz.com is where to go. Hey. You try things, sometimes they don't work. I mean, that's the best I can offer. Sometimes these things just do not work. Not mad at you for trying. But we should be clear that I don't know many people actually thought it was going to work. It's like thinking that the administration is making some kind of sense when it says of Israel, look, we are not wanting to see an escalation in the area. Iran attacks Israel. We don't want to see Israel, you know, do anything silly.
Admiral, just moving forward, what will the White House be looking for and working toward in the next few days, given the dramatic attack that was intercepted over the weekend? It appears all is calm in Israel, given that schools are opening, but Israel has said they will respond when they feel like it, when they feel they are ready, and that there will be a response. What's the message that the administration is sending to Israel as they consider what to do next?
Well, I think really that came out of the discussion with the president and the prime minister on Saturday night. Again, it was commending an incredible military achievement, which, again, showed that Israel has friends and showed that Israel is militarily superior to Iran. Iran did not show itself well on Saturday night, mm-hmm. given what they tried to do and versus what got in. And I think the president's message to to Prime Minister Netanyahu was, this is an extraordinary military success. This is a huge diplomatic success. It's quite an achievement. You ought to think about what that success sends as a message to Iran and to the region. And
I reject this idea, because John Kirby then follows up with, and that should be enough.
Consider, how important the impact of what you proved you could do on Saturday night really is. The president doesn't want to see this thing widen, doesn't want to see a war with Iran. And again, that's been a consistent message from him.
I have seen people discuss this, not just from the radical Biden side, but the idea that Israel being able to shoot down 99% of the rockets and the drones, it's a win. I have said it before, I'll say it again, I'm going to dig into this in depth on Tony Katz today at noon. That's Pollyanna. It's not a win. And I am flabbergasted by the people who want to push this analysis. They will push the analysis that, see how weak Iran is? Look how weak. I'm sorry. That is wanting to get yourself a quick win. You want to own the Iranians. You want to own the Ayatollah. Look at me. I told them what. The Iranians have more rockets and have more drones and have allies who will provide more rockets and drones, whether it's Russia or whether it's China or whether it's North Korea. Meanwhile, Israel used up Lord knows how many rockets trying to shoot these things down. And there's a question of how they're going to replenish that, because they don't have the same kind of allies. Iran has other sources that'll write a check. Israel doesn't. Oh, it has the United States. I don't know what it has right now. I've got the squad supported by people like Andre Carson. They don't want to write that check. Although there's been talk that Speaker Johnson is absolutely going to move forward with the funding of Israel immediately. You could see that very, very soon because of what took place. There's no saying that the same thing is going to happen regarding Ukraine. Ukraine, as Major Mike Lyons has discussed on the show a little bit earlier, they're going to run out of ammunition this year. They're going to lose. If we do not engage the funding to be able to make more bullets here that will then get sent over there, they're going to lose. Just saying what is. But you're going to see movement on Israel funding. They just used up a lot of hardware, Israel did. That makes them weaker for the next attack. And what kind of person thinks, well, you can always shoot down their rockets. It's fine. It was 99% this time. What if next time it's only 86%? Oh, but that's still really good. That's still really good. 300, let's do some math, shall we? Let's say they send over another 350 rockets, ballistic missiles, and drones. And you knock down 86%. That's 301. Oh, that's a nice number. It's nice that you're going to the Hall of Fame with that number. That means 49 drones, suicide drones, with weaponry on it, and ballistic missiles hit. You think that's a plan? That's insane. And the people who want to call this a win don't understand what it means for the future. This is nuts. We will see if Israel responds. If I was a betting man, I'd say absolutely and with force, and they should take out 6 or 7 nuclear reactors. I don't know how many Iran has off the top of my head. You know what? Take them all out. That's done. And if Iran doesn't like it, well, you know, whatever. There might be some blockades around Indianapolis as the Jew-hating bigots want to stop you from getting to work. A reminder to Mayor Hogsett, we have snowplows, and you should use them in April.